fun. Welcome. It's Suzanne Northrup Ag Block Talk Radio on a Monday evening, and we're still in September, as I gather here. Today is September the 13th, and we're just zipping along, as one would say here. I just wanted to thank everybody who showed up this weekend in St. Louis. It was really great to reconnect with all you guys. It was really a lot of fun, and it's the place of the arches. And actually, my guest coming up says, oh, isn't that the place where they have the arches? I go, yes, that's the place where they have the arches. So, but just really quick here, I'm doing Omega this weekend. So for those of you that are thinking on the edge, there's obviously still, availability. So check it out. It's a wonderful, wonderful intensive. We had a phenomenal year last year doing it. It's an intensive workshop weekend. And I've been doing that this last year. This is my second year doing it, and check it out because it's really, really special. It's intensive. It is definitely an intensive workshop weekend at Omega, but we always have a lot of fun in the midst of. Before I bring in my next guest, who is certainly not a stranger for people who know me, because he's not only, I only call him a colleague, but a dear friend as well, and I've known him for a long time, but I'm going to open up. Because a lot of times, I like to open up my show with a poem or an expression or something being said. And I kind of think that this is really perfect because it's a perfect introduction to my guest. And the name of the poem, which is inspired by a Norse legend, is called The Rainbow Bridge. By the edge of a woods at the foot of a hill is a lush green meadow where time stands still, where the friends of man and women do run when their time on earth is over and done. For here, between this world and the next, is a place where each beloved creature finds rest. On this golden land, they wait and they play, till the rainbow bridge they cross over one day. No more do they suffer in pain or in sadness, for here they are whole, their lives filled with gladness. Their limbs are restored, their health renewed, their bodies have healed with strength imbued. They romp through the grass without even a care, until one day they start and sniff at the air. All ears prick up, eyes dart front and back, then all of a sudden one breaks from the pack. For just at that instant their eyes have met, together again, both person and pet. So they run to each other, these friends from long past, the time of their parting is over at last. The sadness they felt while they were apart has turned into joy once more in each heart. They embrace with a love that will last forever, and then side by side, they cross over together. I have to give rights to Steve and Diane Botofsky for doing this in 1998, and it's quite wonderful. And without further ado, and by the way, I will be doing readings tonight. So if you're on the line, I would stay on the lines. At this moment, are packed, which means you're going to have to hang on for a while, kids. We will definitely get to you. At the bottom of the hour. But without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest, Mr. John Holland. Hi, honey. How you doing?
Hey, Suzanne. See, I can't read that poem without crying, so I'm glad you read it.
I know, it's intense, but yeah. And this is, by the way, I read this poem because it's from John's book, and we're going to talk about, lots of things tonight, but I want to talk about John's new book. It hasn't been out very long. It's called The Spirit Whisperer, Chronicles of a Medium. And I came across it, reading the book over the weekend, and I thought, like, oh, okay, this is a nice way to open up the store, Joe. I haven't seen this one. This one is really, really, really special.
Yeah, you mean the book?
Yeah, well, the book. I mean, the poem, but yes, the book.
The poem. The poem is, I had to get permission to put it in there, and the gentleman who wrote it, he and his wife, rescue ferrets, and since there's a huge chapter on our beloved animals, I had to include that. Absolutely.
Right. So, like I said, you know, most people know John and I have known each other for a very, very long time, and you could sort of tell this, but you know, basically, you know, John was sort of, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with him, and he put out a call to me, and I responded, and I think he was a little surprised. Were you a little surprised, John?
Well, couldn't you tell by the sweat stains? I mean, when I met you, I mean, I was so nervous. But, yeah, it's like many people, Suzanne, who are different. And I started becoming known, and I saw you in Boston, and I gave your producer at the time, you know, a couple of my videos. And sure enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, some weeks
yeah.
later, Miss Suzanne Northrup called. So I'm still thankful for that because we all need – every psychic needs a good psychic, and
right.
not for exactly. reading, because people think, because I know you, Suzanne, that we read each other, and we don't.
Yeah,
we talk
right.
about anything else but that.
But that, exactly, yes. And so in our meeting and, you know, me really understanding, you know, John's gift, you know, we ended up doing a couple cruises together. I was responsible for him doing the John Edwards show, which, you know, John said, "You sure this guy can do it?" I said, "Trust me, John, he can do it." So it's interesting because you know, that show was in 2000, but I have to tell you, I got to assume, John, you like me. Many people have come up to you and talked about how they love that show.
Oh, absolutely.
I still have people who come and talk about that show in Vegas in 2000, like how cool it was.
Absolutely. There were still some people that I see, whether at my lectures or maybe a private client, they said, I saw you in Vegas with Suzanne Northrup, John Edward, and Robert Brown. So people
mm-hmm.
are still talking about it, and it's been, you know. And I think
yeah.
it was 2003, Suzanne, when my first book came out.
No, you're actually right. It was 2003, because I know, because I was on book tour during the time. I had a book tour in Portland, Oregon, and I had to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to Vegas because, you know, there's no direct flights there. So, it was a wonderful, wonderful special event. And you were a little sweating then, too, John.
Well, it was the first. Almost 8 years ago. It was
yeah.
my first big one. John called me and said, "How many people have you been in front of?" And at the time, I said 800. He says, "How do you feel about over 2,000? I went,
right.
"Yeah, that's okay." Taking a leap of faith. I mean, you didn't
Taking
see me behind the scenes,
right?
But I write about that. I write about that, Suzanne, in that book. It is in that book. I write about that about me in the back listening to Eminem, his
mm-hmm.
rap song. You know,
right.
After I had to raise my energy after I went on after you, so. I had to raise the energy, you know, for myself anyways, to keep up with what you just did, which was fantastic. So, no, it was. I still admire that and
yeah.
still thankful for John and for you for helping me.
Oh, listen, that's what it's about. And I will just say one other quick thing. I don't know if you ever got a program, but I never got a program connected to it. And out of the blue, about 6 months ago, somebody sent me one. So I had never even knew what the program looked like. So
I know.
What state I was in.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. And the woman who probably sent it was Gail,
who's
a follower
yes.
of mine and yours.
Yes, exactly. It was. So she thought it was about time we got it. So anyway, let's move on with it. What I found, besides, you know, interesting about this book is that you kind of like did, I want to say like this is kind of like backwards. I mean, I don't want to say like how I did it in terms of, you know, my books that I published. But this is actually, the book is, you know, a chronicle of a medium. And I think this is kind of the first book where you actually really talk about your journey. I don't get the sense, and I don't remember this as much in your other books as I did in this one.
Well, this one, the spirit was
a little bit more knowing, but this one is really, you know, really about, you know, your process and your journey and how you got from A to B and all that other stuff.
Right. Before I wrote this one, The Spirit Whisperer, there was Born Knowing. And Born Knowing talked about me as a child and what it was
mm-hmm.
like and moving to
right.
Los Angeles. And, you know, when you come out with the book, the publisher will take a lot of it out of it. And there's a lot of stories in the new book, The Spirit Whisperer, that I wasn't ready yet to tell, Suzanne. I don't write
mm-hmm.
just to write like you.
Right.
I had to write
mm-hmm.
my story. So I go back in time to some things that I didn't say in Born Knowing, but I also go forward in time since Born Knowing. So it is a part two to Born Knowing. But I had to give my audience a chance to get to know me before I start talking about, for instance, transfiguration,
you know,
which I witnessed in England. So, and then everything in the book is what I've heard over the 8 years, psychic kids, reincarnation, pets. So that's what I wanted to put in there, all the stuff that people ask me about.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's some lovely stories in here, you know, and obviously you mentioned, you talk a little bit about the one in Vegas, which actually made me sort of think about it. When something is gone a long time ago and you've done so many things since it, you don't forget about it, but you realize when you read about it in the book, you go like, yeah, that was really a cool weekend. I have to say, it was a Saturday afternoon. Yeah, it was a Saturday afternoon. So it was a very, very special event, and I think it was special for anybody who got to see it, because like I said, over the years, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said that they loved it. And are we ever going to do another one? Are you ever going to do another one? So share with my listeners. And by the way, everybody knows the number to call. It's 347-945-7785. Like I said, the lines are filled, but you never know if somebody falls off. You give it a shot. So the guest number is 347-945-7785, the Spirit Whisperer. So what do you want to share with the listeners about? At this point, you've obviously felt inspired to share this story now.
I felt it was time. I really did. I felt it was time. 8 years have gone by almost when the first one came out. So I wanted to answer the people who, because no matter what lecture I go to, Suzanne, or what demonstration, you get this also, there's a huge section, and like you, like myself, we were psychic kids, we were very sensitive, so there's a lot of lectures and demonstrations where people are coming up to us and saying, my kid is seeing this, my kid is experiencing that, so that's why I wrote a huge section of for parents and teachers to know what to do with kids who are very sensitive or psychic, and the best thing I tell them is to listen to your child.
Listen to
your child. And if your kid is seeing an imaginary playmate, ask the child, what do they look like? What are they saying? It could be a grandparent that they never met. It could be the parent's grandparent. That's why I tell the
parents.
And
more likely it is. I mean, more likely it is definitely a family member or somebody who was connected to the family, because, as we all know, that's the whole purpose of the connection, is about that love thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell people, take out the old photo album without telling the kid why and see if he spots the person that he's talking to in the room. And you shouldn't tell the kid. Kids are very psychic. They see people as they really are.
That way. Yes.
Absolutely. And if your child under the age of 7, because they're very psychic then until they start school, and if your kid is telling you, Mommy, Daddy, I don't like that person, listen to your kid. Absolutely.
You cannot make a kid like somebody, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Or if you're arguing in a room and you stop and the kid walks in, the kid will say, is everything okay? And you say, everything's fine, go back to your room. You just taught that kid to not trust his intuition. It's okay to tell the kid, Mommy and Daddy are having a discussion. We're okay, honey. We really are. It's okay. So that kid was picking up something. So, and there's lots of things, too. I talk about the colors that the parents should have in their room. Don't put a kid in a red room. He'll be bouncing off the walls. And the signs to watch for, and there's a few stories in there to help them, but I really wanted to help parents who have lost kids, and that's one of the chapters. And of course, with you and I, Suzanne, pets, that's another thing. Some people come to our demonstration, Suzanne, they don't want to connect with their mother or father. They want their German Shepherd. You know what I mean? So
listen, when I did the retreat with John and in Barbados, there was a woman who specifically came just for her dog. John always tells a story about, and she had gone to 3 of the other meetings and the dog hadn't showed up. And she was becoming like really, really, morose and depressed. And finally he goes, oh, wait till you see Suzanne. Sure enough, the first person to show up was her dog.
Right.
So, yes, for people that know that those are part of our family, they are part of our family. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well,
we do know
Suzanne,
that.
In that chapter, I tell people, some people don't have kids, Suzanne. All right? And some people don't have kids. And they're pets. Dogs, cats, birds, I don't care what animal it is, two-legged or four-legged, they are the children. They are those people's children. And a lot of people, Suzanne, if they lose a cat or a dog, they have to go through the bereavement the same way someone has to go through with a person. And that's why
that's right.
I tell people, some people who never had animals, Suzanne, sometimes, bless them, they don't know. They will say to the person who lost an animal, it was just a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
yes.
a cat. And,
right.
and it's followed by, well, why don't you just get another one? It's not that easy. You know,
it's like, well, go get another husband or go get another wife.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, go get another sister or brother. Of course you can't. Yeah, I remember when I went through the cremation of Max 2.
Yes.
And it was extremely, extremely intense. And there was a woman there who was with me who, I mean, and I'm telling you, I'll never forget this story, that she needed to take off the afternoon to bury her cat. And you know her boss almost fired her?
Wow. Yeah,
is that intense? Flipped out. I flipped out.
They don't know.
I couldn't believe it. I said he was going to fire you because you needed to take the afternoon off to bury your. I mean, clearly this cat was this woman's baby. I mean, you could tell that, you know, she was, you know, I mean, she was just a total mess. So, you know, people, I don't know if they don't think or they don't make the connection or, you know, who knows. But you know, I always talk about, and I actually, I've done, you know, my recent newsletter about my first visit to Best Friends. Have you ever been to Best Friends, John?
No.
Oh, well, you should
not
go.
Yet.
You'd love it. It's incredible. Yes. Well, I go there because, you know, I'm in Utah every fall. It's about, you know, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours from the spa of where I'm working. So I've gone. It's just an amazing, and it's an amazing organization because they have rescued animals from Katrina and found homes for them. They've rescued animals that were in the war over there.
Afghanistan.
No, not Afghanistan.
Iraq.
Try one more and you'll hit it. It was the war that broke out and I'll think about it later. So you felt it was time to do this book and you had a chapter about pets. I also know that you talked a lot about and for people that are not familiar, I actually thought it was really, really nice. You talked a lot about, you know, your experience in England and going to the school there. And you are right because, you know, the Brits do take this very seriously. And when you go to school there to study, it's very serious, like you're studying medicine, you know. I mean, it's it's a very, very intense situation of what you, you know, what you go through there.
Well, yeah, I was
thought,
lucky
I
to go.
That really it. Interesting. So I personally found that pretty interesting.
Well, I talked about a lot of people, Suzanne, think mediums are just mental mediums, not mental crazy, but that's how you and I work. It's all done through the mind and thought, mental, and a lot of people think that what they see on TV is the only kind of mediumship, when in fact there's so much more, and I talk about that. There's, you know, I talk about the spiritualists there in my study with them and the rise of mediumship, but there's healing mediums that do healings. There's psychic artists who are mediums who draw your loved ones and give you messages at the same time. There's transfiguration, where your loved ones come through the ectoplasm of the face of the medium, a mist.
Right.
I got to clarify that for the people who are saying what. So imagine a mist coming up in front of a medium's face, and you see the spirit people's faces push through like this light smoke, and it wasn't. This was just in a plain church, and this is this gentleman, this medium, looked like Uncle Festa from the, you know, he was a small, round
right.
man with a totally bald head, and he explained what he was doing, and there was a,
absolutely,
and there was a red light on the stage because ectoplasm is very light sensitive, and there was no mirrors, it was just a church and a simple guy, and he goes into trance, and this mist comes up in front of his face, and I start seeing this face push through, and I saw eyes of a Chinese man, the long, skinny mustache, and I had
right.
to turn to my friends and say, what do you see? What do you see? Because I wanted to make sure that we were all seeing the same thing.
All seeing the same thing, of course, right.
And they did see, exactly, it was his guide,
yeah.
and then faces of mothers and fathers were coming through, but I got a reading that night that kind of blew me away, and I'm sitting here in the medium starts looking side to side, and he comes in my direction and calls out the name John, and my friends are hitting me in the elbow, and I said, Suzanne, I said, well, who isn't called John? You know, John and Mary, very common names. You know, Suzanne, I was one of those people in the audience. So when he said...
Oh, you're the kind of people that we just love, right, John?
Yes, absolutely. Well, that was when I was a student. And the... But, you know, I was in that position, and I just waited because I wanted to hear, you know, give me a little something else so I know it's for me. And I was embarrassed and shy. And,
yeah.
And then he says,
I think
John,
that happened with, when we were on the ship. Or didn't you get a message from me or something? I can't remember. But it was a sort of a similar
thing. Yes, you blew me away. It was in Boston. You came to me once, and my Italian grandmother came through, and you said, who's the grandmother that keeps using the washboard? And she never used the washing machine till the age, right up until her 80s. You know, bless her. God forbid she used the washing machine. Nope, she used to scrub them on the washboard. So you brought that, and I was just like, humming a, humming a, humming a, humming a, humming a, humming a. Yes. I never forgot that. And I'm like, so I know. That's why I have patience for people in the audience who get the amnesia. But when the gentleman, the transfiguration medium, said it was Michael, and I said, yes, I'm John. And he says, John, it's Michael. And I saw a tear go down his face. And he said, please tell my family I didn't mean to do it, and I love them. Nobody knew this, Suzanne. 2 weeks before, my friend Cindy lost her brother from a heroin overdose, and they were wondering, was it a suicide? Did he mean to do it? Well, here's this young boy's face coming through, calling out my name, giving his first name. Please tell my family I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident, and I love them. So, you know, I started crying, and then... But it's just, I had to write about that, but I didn't want to put that in my first book because I wanted people to get to know me first and get to know
what kind of... I totally understand. And by the way, I am sure you have experienced this as much as I've experienced it. There's a lot of times that it's determined to be a suicide, and it is not. So I want you to know that I'm sure you have that a lot. I get it a lot, too, as well. And so if you really believe in your heart that that's not the thing with somebody, then you know what? You just always stay in your center about it. My special guest is John Holland. We're talking about his book, The Spirit Whisperer, Chronicles of a Medium. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And, again, the number to call is 347-945-7785. And this is Suzanne Arthur with my special friend and guest, John Holland.
Visit Suzanne's website, www.theseance.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter, www.theseance.com.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne Northrup at Block Talk Radio with my guest and friend, John Holland, and we're talking about his book called The Spirit Whisperer. You know, I'm actually really glad that you, and I'm sure you are too, that you came out with a book. And I know everything is timing because I actually had myself personally a large hiatus between my first and second book, and you know the one after it was a few years, and it was a sort of the same thing for me where I wanted to chronicle. Though that period of time in between of like where I had gone in my process and all the things that I had learned and experienced, and you know from that, you know, that's what I came out with, Everything Happens for a Reason, and it was really because of that process of experiencing so much with so many different people, and the ways in the passing and all of that stuff, that it's true. There's nothing that takes away what we call the place of time, which is why experience, as far as I'm concerned, is your greatest teacher. And you can be gifted from day one, but there's a very difference between doing the work your first year and your 10th year or 15th year.
Oh, yeah.
Or in my case, your 30th year. There is really something about this. So I think there is a time where we do chronicle our time, and I think this is probably was a good time for you.
It was a good time, and a lot of people say, well, what was it like writing it? And I have a lot of stuff in my journals, but, you know, Suzanne, when you and I give messages, we can't get emotional because we'd be a mess, and we can't deliver the message.
The way we need to work, yes.
Exactly. Yes. It doesn't mean that some of them don't get to us, and some come and go. So I had to, you know, go back to some people and have them tell me, because I don't remember. And that's why I did people that have lost kids or spouses or from 9/11. And I was touched, and I was getting emotional, because it's when you and I give a message to someone and then they come back and say to us, you know what you said to me? You're like, no, go ahead. It's as if we're talking about somebody else.
Yes.
So it did affect me writing it also. I mean, there were some emotional parts in there too that I was quite emotional. But and I believe, Suzanne, every time we write, it's also written for us. I really do, because, you know, it's written for us, meaning we're learning as we're writing and growing also.
Yes.
It's not just for the readers. It's also for the author.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's why I wanted so many chapters.
Yes.
That's why I put so many different chapters in there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so, just, you know, really quick, I mean, I'm going to, and it's interesting because you did some of the things that, you know, that I do, which is really important for, is to really share, you know, the signs and the symbols, because it is so true. And I was just on a show actually, you know, last week, and the host just didn't get it in terms of, you know, what I was trying to say to him is something as simple but as profound as driving down the road, feeling emotional, and, you know, and thinking about this person that you love, and then all of a sudden this car pulls out in front of you, and on the license plate is the name of that person. Now,
yes.
You see, you and I both know that those little things are the big messages of them letting us know that they're around. But it was just like he couldn't make that connection. It was just like he didn't understand how profound that is, or how significant that is in terms of, you know, messages and signs from, as what you say in the book, the signs and symbols, calling cards from heaven.
Absolutely. And or you're thinking of your mom, and you turn on the radio the exact time, there's her song, and there's the pennies that people find. It's the feathers. You know, Gretchen, every time, you know, Gretchen, every time she thinks of her dad, she finds a feather. And I'm not talking a seagull feather at the beach. It's at a door. It's in the tub she just cleaned. There's smells, and there's a whole list of them for people. And as you know, because of Judy Guggenheim, they're called after ADCs, after death communication.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call them calling cards from heaven. There are flowers that bloom in, there's roses that bloom in winter. These are all these little signs. And I try to tell people, if you have a rose blooming in the snow, that's not normal. If that was your mom's flower, that's a hello. But we explain it away, Suzanne. You know, say
or
that
in the wintertime.
Absolutely. Say your dad's name was Ralph, and just as you're thinking of your dad and you're feeling emotional, Ralph's plumbing truck goes right by. And people are like, yeah, isn't that funny? What a coincidence. No, it's divine timing.
It's a coincidence. Yes.
Exactly. They know what they're doing on the other side.
Yes.
It's up to us to spot those symbols.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And because, you know, the thing is that they are much louder than we realize that they are, and they're much more significant than we realize that they are. And it's like, I want them to know that I'm around. And it's like, well, they're letting you know that you're around in numerous, numerous ways.
Exactly. Whether it's dreams or the pennies and... Because, Suzanne, people will say, well, why can't my mother show up in front of me? And I often say, are you kidding me? If your mother who passed away shows up in front of you, what's going to happen? You die. Your hair would turn white, and you would go into shock. Okay?
You'd have a heart attack and join her, right?
Very subtle. And I learned something. Of course, I learned something from you also, Suzanne. You have an emotional, you got two sisters. One of the sisters emotional. The mom will always go to the other sister who's not emotional because, just like you said, they take their cues from you. So they will try to let you know. And if both sisters are emotional, they'll go to the damn neighbor, and the neighbor will come, "I keep dreaming of your mother." They know how to get a message to you.
Yeah. And you're right, they take their cues from you. And if, you know, and people tell me when they haven't felt them, I say, if you haven't felt them, then they've come to somebody else, because they're going to go to who they can get that message through, because that is quite literally their job. Their job, because they love you. It's just, I see it as just so clear.
Absolutely. And don't demand a message. I mean, people will say, "I want a penny on Thursday." Well, you know, what about the butterfly that came to you in the winter? You know, I mean, they do what they can. I say, you just tell your loved one on the other side, "Look, I'm open, I'm okay, show me what you got." So,
yeah, right. And I'm sure, you know, doing the work, you'll know, like, that people will get unbelievable information, and they'll say, like, "Well, is that all?" Or, "Can I have more?"
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, well, there was a medium, Suzanne, who I know, and this medium said to the person the name of this guy was skeptical, who was being read, who was trying, the medium was working with, and he said, "Well, I'm getting something about Beethoven," and he said, "Yeah, my father played Beethoven." I'm just using this as an example, but it's the gist of the story, and they gave names and addresses and places, but the sitter, the person receiving the message, says, "But what key did he play it in? Come on." You know what I mean? Come on.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a computer printout that's just in front of us, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, little did they know that these people on the other side do not have bodies. They're sending everything to us by thought. We have to, like a long-distance operator, figure out what they're saying, what the symbols mean, what's the message, and find the right person.
Well, I always like to use the analogy because I think it's a perfect one. If you sit in a room with 10 people and one person sits at the top of that one and you tell them to whisper in the ear to that person and they go all the way around, I guarantee by the time you get to the end of that person, it will be a totally different thing that was said, because we only hear what we want to hear, and it's like, but we expect them to be more direct with us when we don't even communicate, when we have the option of communicating here in the physical.
Sure, absolutely. Chinese whispers, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So in writing the book and talking about it, it being really, really important for you to do this. And I know one of the things also that you did, which I thought was actually very sweet, is at the back of the book, and I always think these things are really nice, is you do have a whole lot of pages of notes. So, I think everybody should go out and buy the book. And when you're reading it, if you do pick up something while you're reading it that clicks with you, because, you know, you can sometimes read six pages and, like, nothing hits you, and then the middle of that seventh page, it's like, oh, wow, that happened to me. Make a
Absolutely.
Note of it yourself. You know, write it down, because, you know, number one is you'll be really happy that that you made that connection and how it was given to you, and know that those people, those loved ones, have worked very, very hard to give it to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I also wrote a chapter on the psychic time machine chapter. That's about me when I did the A&E special mediums, we see dead people. But I wrote what people didn't see on the film, on camera, and I wrote what I did, but what it was like for me behind the scenes. So that also was a very emotional, because, you know, the shirtwaist factory and people, the 90 women who passed away in 1911 from that fire, quite emotional. So there's a little. The book is for everyone, Suzanne, whether you're a student, whether you lost someone, whether you're interested in psychic work or mediumship. This is the biggest book I've written yet.
That's right. That's sweet. Well, you know, also, you know, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because, you know, what people don't realize is when you are working in the media, there are so many, I believe, wonderful things that never get translated, or because they're cut or not talked about. And even when I did, you know, the documentary, there were some incredible things that went on that I found even in some ways, not that there wasn't wonderful things of the documentary itself, I'm not trying to say that, but there were wonderful things that came from that, that it's too bad it didn't get put in it, because they were just incredible, I mean, just incredible processes of how spirit works and how, you know, our loved ones work so hard to give us those messages. So you're right.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're dealing with media stuff, a lot of times things are left out, which is why I know people who work in the media, I know that, you know, you did it in your book, John did it in his book, is because, you know, there's an important element that sometimes just doesn't happen, because if it's not, according to media, dramatic in a certain way, then they, you know, they poo-poo it. But we know that there's a greater part to that aspect. So I think it's wonderful that you had a chance to really talk about it in this book.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to, because it happened after I wrote the first book, so I figured it was important, and people benefit from all the chapters in there. So, you know, I'm glad the way they came out, and just happy that Hay House did it.
Well, Hay House has been a good friend to you. They've done, you know, so it's nice. They've done well by you, and
absolutely.
as they should, because, you know, you do well by them, and that's just the way that both of them work. So do you have anything upcoming that you would like to pass on to the folks tonight?
Well, I'll be the I Can Do It conferences is in Tampa this year, and that's a huge, you know, there's like 20 different speakers. I'll be at Omega, our famous Omega for Soul Survival, with Brian
mm-hmm.
Wise, Raymond Moody, and which is great, and it's, you know, it's all about the soul. And just as wonderful, you know, and congratulations on yours at Omega. And anything they want to know, Suzanne, I still got some more events. I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to be in Massachusetts. I do smaller groups. Everything that people want to know, johnholland.com. And it's just like the country, johnholland.com. I say that, you know.
Yeah, so that's easy to remember. With
yes.
me, I always tell people they just have to know how to either spell Suzanne or they either got to know how to spell it Northrop. And I always tell people that even if they misspell it, you know, if you do any kind of thing that even looks partially to how my name sounds, it'll come up in Google anyway. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you mean this? Yes. Yeah.
So that is definitely, you know, one of the advantages of being known and being around for a long time, because, you know, when you have pages upon pages, even if somebody doesn't get your name right, there's no way they can miss it.
They'll find you.
they'll definitely find you. That's always a good thing. But howling by the country, that's a good one to know. But
okay.
Called The Spirit Whisperer, Chronicles of a Medium. I'm so glad that you're proud of it, as you should be. But just for the record, you know, John is also the author of Born Knowing, Psychic Navigator, 101 Ways to Jumpstart Your Intuition, and Power of the Soul. They're just among some of his wonderful, you know, work as he keeps on, you know, doing his thing as an internationally known psychic medium. He did do his the History Channel, you know, the psychic history.
History,
you know, histories,
yeah.
And the A&E mediums, we see dead people. So,
yeah.
And his website, as you can see, is www.johnholland.com. I know you have some previous engagements tonight, so ordinarily we usually do a combo reading between the two of us. So I know that, you know, we won't do that with you tonight. I mean, I will be doing it, but
right.
John and I'll definitely do a rain check on that one,
yes.
And come back to it so that we can definitely do this again.
And I'll have you on my radio show.
Okay, you got it, darling.
Okay, thank
again,
you, man.
You're welcome, John. My friend is John Holland. The book is called The Spirit Whisperer's Chronicle of a Medium. And this is Suzanne Northrop of Block Talk Radio. Again, he's also the best-selling author of Born Knowing, Psychic Navigator, 101 Ways to Jumpstart Your Intuition and the Power of the Soul. You can find John on his website at www.johnhollandlikethecountry.com. And I can't do that one, John. I like that. It's a good one. And you will definitely check out his website, and you'll see if he's going to be in your neck of the woods, because he, you know, like me, travels, you know, quite extensively. And if you haven't experienced John's work, he's something. Besides the fact that he's a very good medium, he's also very funny on stage. So you're going to get a combination of his humor, his wit, and his talent. So I encourage you to check the book out and check out John at his page. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back, and I will be doing, I'll hit as many readings as I possibly can tonight.
Visit Suzanne's website, www.theseance.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter, www.theseance.com.
Welcome back. It's Suzanne Northrup at Blog Talk Radio. And, again, it was really great to have John on my show. And, like I said, I know something came up for him today. Otherwise, we'd have been on the show for both the full hours. But we will have him back, and I will be on his show. And so you guys got me. And let's just go to my first caller. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Fine. How are you?
Okay. I got you in.
Good, good. I was hoping I didn't get disconnected a second time. I want to be connected.
Well, you did well. We were able to retrieve you. Now, who am I talking to, please?
My name is Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Very well. Thank you for asking. I always appreciate that. Okay. Who's like me to connect with Rosemary?
My loved ones. Anyone that will come through, I would be most delighted to hear from.
Okay, so you don't have anybody in particular in mind. All right, so we'll see how sort of his show shows up here. Now, I got to tell you real quick, Rosemary, I'm being pulled to mom's side of the family here, but your mom is still here, isn't she not?
No, she's not.
Oh, then that's the one who's showing up then. Well, she's pretty strong and loud and clear, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yes. Now, she keeps repeating to me your name, Rosemary, and the only time that they do that is if your first or middle is honored from somewhere on her side or connected to her.
I was named after her.
Oh, you were? Okay, got it. So I guess she's coming in loud and clear, isn't she?
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, please. Were you either young when she passed, or has she been gone a while, please?
No, she's only been gone a few months.
She's only been gone a few months. It's
yes.
Interesting because she's talking about the youth and the young. So does that mean like you're her baby? Is that the deal?
No, I have one sister that's younger than me, but okay. Me and my mom were best friends. So.
Then that's probably what, because, I mean, it comes in so loud and so clear. But I will tell you something. I know you tell me the chronological time. She hasn't been gone very long, but I'm going to tell you your mom had to be ill because she showed me a much longer period of time than what you're telling me.
Yes, yes. She was ill for quite a while.
Yeah, because I'm going to say this was a long process. And I'm going to tell you, for the record, your mom was a tough cookie.
Yes.
And quite frankly, Rosemary, I think she stayed around here longer than she would have liked to for her connection and love of the family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like her, and I believe that.
Yeah, it's really true. Now, her mom has also passed, though. Am I correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because she says she wants you to know that Grandma was there to bring her over. It comes in as quite strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know quite literally, because usually I tend to hear things quite literally. I don't tend to hear things symbolically. But she's telling me this quite strong, so I don't know if this was given to you, given to her, it's somebody's name or what it means, but she's talking about the pearls. And she keeps telling me about the pearls.
Think
about it. Unless they're like what I would call small earrings that look like pearls, whether they're literally pearls or not.
Uh-huh.
Small, what I call round white earrings. Unless
okay.
They're round white, some other type of jewelry that would look like that.
Okay.
Okay, but you will think about it.
Yes, definitely.
Now, I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here, Rosemary. I want to know whose dead dog is at my feet.
That would be mine.
Okay, well then, Mama's got your doggy.
Oh, good.
I want to say the doggy must have been there when Mama went over, because she said, we're hanging out together now.
Yes. He passed before her, so
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, they're hanging out together, and actually she was very connected to the doggy as well, so it comes in as quite literal.
Yeah, good, that's good.
Isn't that cool? Yes. Now, and one other thing here, I'm going to ask you this. Were you there at the time of her passing, please?
Yes,
because she raved that in my ear very loud and clear. She goes, no, I made sure that you were there.
Yes, that's interesting, because she there were several people in the house, but I was the main one that was with her at all her chemo and all her appointments, and in the end it was myself and my brother. Although there were 10 people in the house, we were the only ones in the room with her at the time.
Right. See, we choose our passings, and we choose those to be with us or not. And it's always up to the person personally. So I just want you to know that she gave you that honoring. Right.
Yeah, I'm glad, yes, and it was an honor.
Yeah, because it is an honor. I tell people it is an honor. And if they do it with you being there, it's because they most definitely want you to be there.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's nice to know.
Okay. All right, Rosemary. Thank you very much. You have a great night, all right?
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello?
Hello?
This is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
Hi, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Who would like me to connect with, Diana?
I'd like to see if you have either my sister Mary or a friend of mine named Dickie.
Okay. Hold on a minute here. All right, first I'm going to ask you this here, Diana. I'm hearing like one of three, so does that mean you have another sibling, or there's three more, please?
No, I actually have a lot of siblings. There's five, yeah.
Okay, so then I want to ask you this, please. Are there three sisters or three of the same sex? There's a reason your sister's given it to me. That's why I'm asking you.
No, there's six girls in my family minus her and then two boys.
And you said there's just two boys. Only the two boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the three.
Did your mom lose a child?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Miscarriages I'll get as a loss. Okay.
Yeah, not that I know of. I do have one sister. She's still living, but she's a sister that has three children.
She's one that has three children. Ah, got it. Okay. So was your sister passed? Was she connected at all to these three children?
Yes.
That's what it is. I know there's always a reason why they identify. I never know, but I know when they hound me on something.
Yeah, that's got to be what it is.
and I'll tell you something. She not only was connected to these three children, but she very much keeps an eye on them.
Oh, that's good.
Very much. So please tell your sister that's here. Now, this sister tells me, it's interesting, I'm getting a fast passing with her, Diana, but I'm also getting a knowing. So there must have been something that she either knew or had a feeling or something about her passing.
She did have a very fast passing. It was an accident.
Yeah, but she must either had what I would call a vision or
yeah,
a feeling,
okay.
Or something, because I'm definitely getting the sense that it was quick, boom, out of here, but I knew something. I just knew something.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now, I'm also going to tell you this, please. I'm very much nearing time right now for me, which always indicates to me that I'm either near her or your other friend's birth or passing, because I feel like I'm within a very short time framework right now.
Yeah, actually, she passed August 10th, and we're coming up on October, which is my friend's mother friend's birthday and close to his death day, so right in between.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm on both sides. It makes a lot of sense to me, and that's the way that they're coming through. I'm also going to tell you, your friend must have also known your sister because they're coming together, and I'm also going to tell you, when he comes through connected to her, I also get a fast passing.
Yes, heart attack.
Yeah, I feel like, boom, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, boom, I'm gone.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because I get that with the both of them, although there seemed to be a little more trauma with your sisters, which just makes sense because of an accident.
Yeah.
I'm telling you quite literally in this, she knew something was going on. I just feel like she knew something was going on. Uh-huh. I'm also going to tell you one other quick thing here, Diana. I know you said her name is Mary.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, I keep hearing a J name, but it's more female than male, like either a Jean, a Jane, Joan, something to that effect.
Okay.
So if you're not connecting the right way, do think about it, because my guess is it must be somebody who's connected to her or to him.
Okay.
But it's not, it's not male. It's female. It's female, four-letter J name.
Okay.
And sometimes I will get middle names, by the way, too. That's not uncommon.
Okay.
All right? So you will think about that.
Yeah, I'll think about that, yeah.
One other quick thing that she's also telling me, and I'm going to assume if this was not you, it's got to be somebody in the family, and I don't know if this had to do with her August connection, but she's telling me that she was brought flowers.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's thanking you because they must have quite literally been her favorite ones.
Yeah, we just, the siblings went up and brought them this summer, so,
So she tell everybody she thanks them.
Okay, well.
And she definitely keeps an eye on those three kids. So please pass that on.
Okay, I will.
Okay, Diane.
Well, thank you
all
so much.
You're really welcome, and you have a great night, all right?
Thank you, you too.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
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 Hello, who am I talking to, please?
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
I'm surprised I got you on the line.
Well,
so,
I told you if you held on and you knew you were holding on, you might have a shot. So you got a shot.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Well, this is exciting. Whoever comes through, I was told I live on a sacred Indian burial site.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're around me, but I'd like to know more about what they have to say. I do a lot of unique type of artwork, so I know I channel them that way, but I haven't had any verbal contact with them. And also my grandfather died in June, so I was wondering if who's up there.
Okay. Well, first of all, I connect with people that you know, Jennifer, so because of identification purposes. So you may be, obviously you're obviously on sacred land, and obviously you're picking up a lot of information from them. So if I were you, I would just take that into your heart and hold it very dear, because obviously they're using you for that connection, and it is always an honoring. So take it to be quite literal. All right.
Okay.
But I'm gonna tell you now. Is this your mama's dad? Am I on the right side of the family?
No.
Mm-hmm. This is your dad's dad?
Yeah.
That's passed? Okay. But your father's still here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this, please. He's coming with another male vibration. So there must have been another brother or another brother-in-law or something on that side of the family, because there's two of them coming together.
I had an aunt who was very male-like.
Oh, well,
so that could be it.
Is it on the same side of the family?
Yeah. I mean, I had an uncle who died on my mother's side. It was my Aunt Jeannie's husband.
Ah, then I get it might be him, because I don't usually get the sexes crossed. Sometimes with children, but not generally with adults. So this would be a brother-in-law. So did you know him, by the way? He had to be connected to the aunt, because I feel like he's coming through with the grandfather very strong about that connection and the need to make the connection.
Okay.
All right? And there's an E name connected on that side of the family. I don't know if I'm hearing like an Edward or it's an E, the Edna. There's an E sounding name quite strong.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
That's okay. You'll write it down, okay? Because you may not catch it right away. I get things very, very fast.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you one other quick thing here. The grandfather that comes through, by the way, was a smoker, unless he had lung stuff, because I'm very heavy in that chest with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about you being very connected to him.
Okay.
All right. So I know he was a granddad, but he talks about having strong either connection to your influence of your rearing or being around you.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to tell you one other quick thing here. Keep up the work, because they're telling me that you're getting a lot of really, really good information, Jennifer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So keep it up, because if they're giving it to you, then they want you to have it.
Oh, okay. I know who the E is. Okay. All right.
Okay. Good. As long as you know, that's all that matters.
Okay.
All right. You have a great night, Jennifer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello? Hello?
Okay. Hi. This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you tonight?
Hi. I'm fine. Thank you for such a great show. It was really inspiring to hear John.
Well, that's great. Well, you're very welcome.
Okay. I'd like to hear from my mother.
Okay. We're going to try to get this in as quick as we can. We started out with mothers. I guess that's sort of the deal for mothers here. Okay. All right, Rachel. Two things. When your mom comes through, she comes through with another woman. So unless she lost a sister, it's her mother.
It's both. It could be both.
Okay, got it. Now, I want to also ask you this, please. Your name is Rachel?
Yes.
Yes? Who's the other R name, but different than yours, in the family? Is there a Rose? Is there a Ruth?
Yes, my mother's name is Rose, as is her mother's.
Is her mother. Okay, got it. That's why I'm hearing it doubly. Thank you.
Great. So, thank you.
You're welcome. She's obviously coming in rocking like, as they would say. I would tell you, if you're not the only daughter, you and your mother are exceptionally close.
We are, but I do have a sister, but my mother and I were like glue.
Yes, I'm definitely getting like best friends, mother and daughter, and I know that you have a sister, but your sister is very different than you, and I'm sure your mother loved your sister like she loves you, but you and her were exceptionally, exceptionally close.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, and I will tell you this, for the record, at the end of your mama's life was not a lot of fun, Rachel, I'm going to tell you that. She's a tough cookie, but this was hard.
Yes.
And this was very hard to go through for you and very hard for your mom to go through, but I will tell you, she was a trooper through the whole thing.
Yes.
She was a trooper through the whole thing. Now, I want to validate this to you because I think it's extremely important that you know this. Your mother says, without question, she's visited you since she's passed.
Oh, yes. I think definitely she has.
Yes. Yeah. And she goes, don't ever question that she wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, when she comes through, again, I'm going to get the sense that this is connected to her unless it's to the grandmother. Somebody had a birth or passing in June or July month, they tell me.
Neither.
Okay. Please write it down because it's got to be somebody who's connected to her then.
Okay.
Unless it's somebody here that she's making reference to the birthday, but I'm literally hearing summer months, June or July.
Well, I had a birthday in July.
Oh, well, I think she wishing you happy birthday, isn't she?
I think
well,
so.
Okay, right? I said a birth or a passing.
Yes,
so
that was me.
There you go. That was pretty special that Mom wanted to make sure that you got that, didn't she?
Yes.
She wouldn't forget your birthday for anything, Rachel.
Right. No,
she wouldn't forget your birthday for anything. All right. So you keep your mind and your heart open because obviously she's around you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We're gonna try to squeeze in one more person. Thank you. I'll take it. We'll see if we can get in one more person here. Hello.
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 Hi. This is Suzanne.
Hello?
Hello? I'm here. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Who am I talking to, please?
Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Good. This has got to be real quick because we're already running down on time. Who would you like me to connect with, please?
I want to know if my two sons who are on the other side have any messages for my son that is here.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to tell you they're both coming through. There's a distance in their passing. One was quicker than the other, although I think both of them were strange passings, I got to tell you.
Yes.
All right. That's the number one. But I will tell you that they tell me without question they've made visits to their brother.
Okay.
And they really want him to remain strong because it's important for him to still be here in relationship to his connection to his mom.
Okay.
Obviously to you. You do
yes.
understand.
Yes.
Yes. And I do believe that they both definitely have visited them, without a question.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if this is connected to your sons indirectly or directly, but I want to know, where am I hearing, like, Bobby?
I'm not sure.
Okay. It's Bobby, Billy, something. It's like with a Y sound on the end.
Okay.
All right. That's how I'm hearing it. Now, I'm going to ask you one other quick thing. Did one of them have issues with their head or were their head injuries? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's just their way of letting me know that they're coming through. And by the way, for the record, they come by as very different personalities.
Yes.
I mean, they're distinctly different personalities.
Yes.
So I just want you to as you have, hold them dear in your heart, and my best wishes and love to you and your son. And just tell him that be strong for mom, because that's what his brothers want.
All right. He needs them.
All right. Yes, he does. He is.
Thank you.
But you're really welcome. You have a great night, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that's it, kids. Just like everybody knows, it's always the first Monday of every month, so we'll be back here October the 4th with a very, very special guest. And the book is going to be called Messages, Signs, Visits, Premonitions from Loved Ones from 9/11, Bobby McNeely. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful special show for anybody to tune in there. If you're thinking about Omega and you're on the fence, it's this weekend. I hope to see a lot of you there. If I haven't seen you in a while, then it'll be really nice to connect. If you're going to my October event, sign up for it. It's October the 24th, my big event, as usual, in Waterbury this month. And always, everything, I hope may be yours.